Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Your word liberates us. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence, dear Lord. I just pray, Lord, continue to speak to us as the word is shared. Precious Lord, we love you. We need your word. Precious Lord, speak to us. We pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue with our series, which is called the Bible series. Okay. And last week we looked at origins at Genesis, the origins of the earth, the origins of mankind, the original relationship that man and woman had with God. And we saw there was a mistake. We saw there was a breakdown in that relationship, but there was a promise. There was a promise almost immediately that the relationship would be restored. And we're going to be working through different sections of the Bible over the next few weeks. And it's a bit like a big epic film, the Bible is, you know. It has great, fantastic panoramic shots of life and of the earth. And it has some bits which are minute details in people's life. And God knits them together a bit like the expert filmmaker takes a person's life of 70 years and reduces it to 2 hours. You know? That's what the Bible does. It takes the history of the earth, the history of the mankind, the future of mankind, and reduces it to a few books. Because if you wrote everything that God wants you to know and everybody else to know and everything about that's happened, the books would not be able to fit into this earth. It's like a quote there from John, if you recognize it, but it's true. So we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus. But first, we're going to have some readings, and they've got somebody with a more, even more dramatic voice than mine. Okay, so can we have the slide, please?
Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Wonderful words. Hallelujah. The words that God says to people, the words that God says to you, are so pertinent and so personal. God said to Abraham, go. God promised Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. He said that a blessing will come from you to all people. Even through your son, your grandson, and 400 years later, his family are made into a nation. But a nation enslaved in camps. The Israelites groaned and called to God. And God got a plan. He got a plan. He called a man. He attracted his attention. He did something unusual. He set fire to a bush. But the bush never perished. And the man thought, this is different. God attracted his attention. And the man had an encounter with God. The man Moses. And he found himself in a place he'd never been before, in God's presence, so holy that God said, take your shoes off. And he fell down, worshipped. And God spoke to him, and God called him. And God said, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to have a confrontation with the king of Egypt, called Pharaoh. I want you to do that. And I want you to speak to the people that are there to listen and go with you. And tell Pharaoh to let his people go. God promised deliverance. Moses was the messenger and the agent through which God worked. And God said to the people of Israel, if you obey me fully, keep our agreement together, our covenant, you will be special people. You won't just be slaves. You won't just be free men. You'll be special people. You'll be priests and you'll be kings. You will be free. Because our God is a God who wants you to be free. He wants to take chains and shackles off you. He wants you to know the truth that that can happen. Because Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as I say, there's lots of stories in the Bible, and they're all to teach us, everyone. So we're taking some selected ones, okay? And this Moses, he was a man who was brought up in a time when it was dangerous. He was brought up in a time when baby boys of his race were being killed. In Egypt, they started to kill the Hebrew boys. And so his mom hid him away. And he was found by an Egyptian princess who brought him up in a palace, who brought him up with wealth. with privilege, with good prospects. He could have whatever he wanted. But he had a problem. He was raised as an Egyptian, and he would appear totally free. But inside, he knew he was a Hebrew. And he was torn in his identity. He was torn as to who he should really be. And we're told that one day he went to visit his people and he saw them being physically abused. And he went to defend one of his people. And in defending him, he killed an Egyptian. And he knew he was in trouble. So he hid the body. Thought nobody knows. And he comes back some time later and he sees two of the Hebrews squabbling. And he said, don't fight each other. And said, who are you? You're going to kill us like you killed the other guy. And he realized the secret was out. He realized he would be held to account. The Egyptians would come and get him. So he fled. He fled. And he went down to the desert. And he spent 40 years in the desert. I don't know if you've ever spent 40 years. I don't know if you spent 40 days somewhere you don't want to be. But he spent 40 years in a desert, in a tent, as opposed to living in a palace. And this man, he must have thought about the past. He must have thought about the good food, the great variety of food. He must have thought about the good life, as opposed to what he was having there now. As I say, God spoke to him. God called him. He had an encounter with God. This morning, God was speaking. This morning, God was speaking to us. That's an encounter. And he said to Moses, he said, I want you to go up and confront that Pharaoh. And as it was for Moses, so it is for us. That God speaks through an encounter. Sometimes it's very dramatic. Sometimes it's not dramatic. But it is always powerful in that it changes things. I want us to hear a short story about a man called Finney, and I'll let Finney introduce himself.
I was a drug dealer. I was suffered from mental health issues. I was dealing in cannabis and amphetamines mainly, and what I was making, I was using. Drug dispute with a fellow drug dealer that led to quite a serious offence. I was almost charged with attempted murder. Miraculously, they dropped the charges to aggravated burglary and threats to kill. As I was remanded into HMP Exeter, I was put into my cell, which was nothing new, nothing unusual. It was something that I'd been used to time and time before. But for this time round, there was something different that I noticed in that prison cell, and it was the Bible. As I open this Bible that I feel unusually drawn to, I feel God saying, if you want to know more about my truth, you need to start living and speaking truth. If you can imagine a man wrapped in chains, that was me. When I was in my prison cell all those years ago, I didn't have to be in prison to be a prisoner. I was a prisoner on the outside, wrapped in all those chains of addiction, of mental health disorders. And the only thing that's changed my life outside of the prison system is the Word of God, is the Bible. So every now and then I'd be in my prison cell and I'd read a scripture and ching, one of those chains, one of those padlocks would just fall off and that chain would feel a little bit looser. And then a couple of days later, I'd be reading something else, somewhere else in the Bible. And ching, another padlock would fall off and that chain would feel a little bit looser, until the point where my 4 years were up and I was walking out the doors of HMP High Point. And I was really walking out a free man, because those chains were gone. But the only thing that's changed my life from what it was to what it is now is the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. A man who had an encounter. A man who confronted the fact that he wasn't living in truth, that he wasn't thinking the truth, and he wasn't speaking the truth. A man who responded to God, and chains were loosened, padlocks fell off, chains would eventually drop from him. A man who was free. And that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for us. Finn, that guy called Finney, like Moses, he had an encounter. When you encounter God, God brings us to an acknowledgement of who he is. An acknowledgement of ourselves, of who we are, our need, our humanity, our limitations, our poverty, our need of help. You know, Exodus is a book of freedom. The word Exodus means exit or out. Out of our bondage into freedom. That's what the book of Exodus is about. They say God begins with an encounter, but he also, for freedom to happen, there's a confrontation. There's always confrontation. If things are going to change, there needs to be confrontation. I remember one time when, to be honest, I was labouring under quite heavy management at a job I worked at. And they were forcing me to do illegal overtime. It's illegal to force people to do overtime. And I remember crying out to God. And God gave me the words to speak to my management that they couldn't unlawfully force me to work overtime. And that freed me. That freed me. It released me to be able to voluntarily serve my management and the company I worked for in a different spirit. And I was no longer a bound person, but I was a free person who chose to work for them. Remember another time when I was surrounded by people and the peer pressure was incredible to go along certain lines. And there was a state of mind, almost warlike, against the management. And I didn't realise, I didn't believe that this was correct. And so God spoke to me. And God freed me to be the man that I was. So I could be amongst my peers and I could show how to work with a management that was at war with the employees and the employees who were at war with the management. And I walked a free man, deciding what was correct for me to do. And that enabled me, that freedom enabled me later in life when I became a manager to treat my workers mindful of their needs, and that enabled me to take those willing workers to do the best job possible for the management. But I had a confrontation with management, and I had a confrontation with my union. But God led me to be his man. When you have an encounter with God, it will lead to change, but you have to go through confrontation. God confronts you with the truth. It wasn't correct for me to be subservient to my management in the way which I envisaged it. And it wasn't correct for me to just go along with other people. God made me who he wanted me to be in the situation. But the story of Exodus is not just about the man Moses and his personal situation. It's about the fact that he's a man who liberates a nation. It's about a fact of a people who'd gone far from God, that ended up in Egypt under a wicked regime. A regime that didn't just want to enslave them, but wanted to make their lives hard and bitter. It says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 14, the Egyptians, they made the lives of the Israelites bitter and harsh with labour. They just wanted to make it miserable for them. They wanted to belittle them. They wanted to break them. They wanted to make them bitter. They wanted to just keep holding them in bondage. But Exodus is a story of a people who were delivered from darkness to light, from slavery to being an army of strong warriors, to a people of value. He delivered them by miracles. through Moses, through ten miracles, 10 plagues he brought upon Egypt, turned water into blood. He brought frogs around, more than you ever want. The place was full. He brought lice around, more than you would ever want. He brought locusts around, more than you would ever want. But these weren't random miracles, because the Egyptians worshipped frogs. The Egyptians worshipped the River Nile. They worshipped the plentiful land and reliable land where they lived. Every year the Nile rose, watered the land, enriched it, and they lived a prosperous life, and they depended upon it. But we're taught to depend upon God. So God showed them that he was greater than the things that they worshipped and the things that they based their life upon. Far greater. And he put doubt in the Egyptians' hearts in awe that they trusted him before. And he put confidence in the hearts of the Hebrews that he was stronger. He was stronger. Your God is stronger than the gods around you now. He's stronger. So God delivered them by miracles, but he also gave them promises to live and to look to. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 to 8, God said, I will bring you out. I will free you from being slaves. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. And I will bring you to the land I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give you a possession. I will. Sounds like God's almost marrying them, doesn't it? You say, I will, and you get married. A union, and it's a good picture. God didn't just want to save them from the Egyptians. He wanted to save them for something. He wanted to save them to go into a promised land, a land where they'd be free to worship. This is what freedom is always about. It's being saved from and it's being saved for. They were delivered by miracles, by promises, sustained by God's supernatural power, which is true and evident today. Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. When you face the impossible, remember, the impossible is possible with God. The Israelites, when they walked out and they lived in their desert for 40 years, when they were free, they were fed miraculously by manna in the morning, by birds landing at night to give them food, by water coming out of rocks. They didn't have to ring Deliveroo. God was there before. God was there before. And he brought them through that Red Sea to do that. And they walked with walls of water either side of them. I don't know if you ever walked through those tunnels you get like in sea life and that, and you're under the water. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Like, you know, where the Israelites did that. That was like for them, walls of water either side. And they went through to go to the other side, to go to the promised land. And there was a process where they went through to do that. They had to do, as God said in Egypt, prepare themselves. They had to go through that initial wilderness to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, then through another wilderness. And the Bible, it's interesting, the Bible tells us that there were various stages of their freedom. For Finney, there was, for the guys at the testimony, there's various stages where he saw truth and he responded to it. And a padlock fell off, he said, like a chain. And his chains became looser and he read more truth. Another padlock fell off and another chain got looser until he was free. And sometimes it's like that with us, but that's okay. Let God work in you. You keep responding to what God says, to the encounter that you have with him, what he speaks about, and what he faces you up to, that confrontation, he can take you through. And he took the Israelites through that, the packing up, coming out of Egypt, the walking through the wilderness, to walking through the Red Sea, to walk through another wilderness. God was with them, freeing them. Hallelujah. So freedom always begins with an encounter. It always begins with a confrontation. And it always begins with obedience. Obedience is important. I was reminded, I heard a testimony of a lady in our church, and wonderful lady, won't say her name, There's many wonderful ladies, so you won't know who. And one time in the meeting, when we were worshipping like we were earlier, God said to her, lift your hands up. Now, she doesn't normally do that. She's not from that background. She doesn't think she's that type of person. But God said, lift your hands up. So she did. And something happened. Something happened in this room to this woman. She was touched physically. She was touched emotionally. She was touched spiritually because she obeyed. She obeyed the word of God, and she went through the confrontation of what was normal. She went through that, and God blessed her. And God does that for us, okay? He speaks words, and whatever he speaks, we're to obey. That opens up a blessing. Our obedience opens up and allows the power of God to flow in our lives. It's as simple as that. But God wants you to respond. God called Israel out of bondage. And he brought them to a place called Mount Sinai. Interesting this. And in their wanderings, he called them to a specific place. And there, he gave instructions. He gave commandments. It's there in Exodus chapter 20. He said, look, you're going to have no other gods. Look, you're going to have no pictures or emblems of me. Okay? Look, you're going to respect my name. Look, you're going to have a day of rest so you can pull back. Life does not go well just because you work hard. We rest on purpose so that our life goes well. Because on the day that we rest, we worship God. He's the one that takes care of you. He's the one. You work hard, but you give him time. And he will ensure that you go well in your life. And he said, respect the family. Life matters. Faithfulness matters. Honesty matters. Integrity matters. Contentment matters. So he said, respect your parents, which means you'll respect other people. He said, do not murder. Don't cheat on your spouse. Don't steal. Don't tell lies. Don't covet. Don't be envious of what other people have got. Don't be envious, not at all. God's principles reveal who he is. That's why a person's principles matter. That's maybe why there's currently a great discussion about principles of certain people, national figures. Because a person's principles matters as to who they are. Those simple Ten Commandments Jesus took in the New Testament, he reduced them to two sentences. And in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Simple. Simple. This is Jesus who said this. This is Jesus who brings freedom today. Moses and his story was just a picture for when Jesus would come. It was relevant for the day, but it's also a picture for when Jesus came. And Jesus today is the one who brings freedom for me and for you. As Moses was brought up out of Egypt, so Jesus came and set the people free. Took him into the promised land. So Jesus does exactly the same for us. He does it for people in bondage, for people who do not have freedom. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach to those who don't have. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, give liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. Amen. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the acceptable year of the Lord. You don't have to wait for a time in the future. It's now. That's in Luke 4, verses 18 onwards. But there was one big difference between Moses, his story, and Jesus. God told Israel through Moses to go over to a place where they could dwell in God's kingdom, to cross over to the Red Sea, to cross over to the River Jordan. But Jesus, he doesn't stand and say to us, cross over. Jesus came down to the place where we are. He lived the life where we are living now on earth. He lived that and he gave his life for us. And it's almost like he gives us a piggyback. You know what a piggyback is? Use our expression, yeah? On your back. And he carries you. Where does he take you when he picks you up? He takes you to the kingdom, his kingdom. He takes you in. When you respond to him, when you hear his voice in that encounter, when you face your need, when you encounter what you need to do, okay, and where you obey his word to you, he picks you up and he carries you. And he wipes the slate clean of your sins. He releases chains from you and fall off. And there's some chains you don't realize you're still hanging on to, but he's patient with you. He'll speak to you about them. He'll do that for you. So next time you see a cross, we don't have one around here, do we? Oh well. But next time you see a cross, okay, they remind you not just the fact that Jesus died on it, but the fact that Jesus carried you across into the kingdom. Him bearing your sins, him bearing your pain, he carried you across. And he did it, as I say, for those who are in bondage, for the bruised, for the broken, for the downhearted, for those who've said, who've been lied to by the spirit of evil and deception, that they're not good enough and never will, that they'll never change, that they're not good enough for God. He comes to release you from that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Is he not? Amen. 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 This Jesus, he's our deliverer. This Jesus is our freedom giver. Hallelujah. Encounter him today. Claudia and the team are going to come up and lead us in a song. And as we listen to that song, and as you engage with it, you continue to encounter God. The words are true. Let your spirit engage with those words. Make them true for you. Hallelujah. There's nothing that God cannot beat. There's no chain that God cannot break. He came for your freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that your truth sets us free. Sets us free today, precious Lord. Lord, we look to you. We say, Lord, here I am. Continue to speak to me. And if you haven't heard God speak to you before, let him speak to you now. Let him speak to you now. And what he speaks about, don't dodge around it. Confront it. By obedience, go through and let God deal with it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.